Now check this out, y'all. It's your boy Puff Daddy, representing that Bad Boy crew. And I'm teamed up with my family over at the WWE and my people over at 2K to curate the dopest soundtrack for 2K17.
How's your relationship with Vince McMahon?
Oh, it's great.
How great is it?
Me and Vince are boys. I'm his favorite.
How well do you know that guy?
I mean...
An all-new Scooby-Doo movie starring the WWE superstars.
Let's join forces and win this race.
You are listening to the Gerwick Report Podcast.
A podcast that tells it like it is.
With Steve Gerwick.
Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Frank D.
Fabulous. Frankie Frankster D. Up in this bitch right now.
And Gerwick.net Hall of Famer Theodore R. Long.
Holla, 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 player.
Welcome back to the Gerwick Report Podcast, the GRP, the podcast that tells it like it is. Today is Tuesday, August the 9th, 2016, and I am Steve Gerwick of Gerwick.net, pro wrestling since 1997. A big show today on the Gerwick Report podcast. Lots of news and topics. We're going to talk about Raw. We're going to talk about Conor McGregor. We're going to talk about the release of Joey Styles. All that and much more. But first, let me tag in one-third of the Triple Threat, my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
Hey, what's up, Steve? How you doing, man?
I'm great. How about yourself?
So pathetic.
And let me also tag in to close out the Triple Threat. He is a legend. He is the former ECW and SmackDown general manager, former referee, a member of the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame, and someday, we're going to keep pushing, he'll be in the WWE Hall of Fame at some point, the one and only Theodore R. Long. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing very good, Steve and Frank, man. Just glad to be right here alive today and getting ready for another great week of the Gerwick.net podcast. Holla, holla, holla.
What I saw on your social media there, player, I think, your grandson had a birthday.
Yeah, Rashad, he was 2 years old on Saturday, so we had a birthday party for him, and it was just great, you know. And that's one thing I'm really enjoying about this semi-retirement, you know, I'm getting a chance to be at home and spend some time with my grandkids. I watched them all be born and raise them and stuff because they've been right here in the house with me. But to, you know, have some time to spend with them and enjoy them is a lot of fun for me. So, man, that was great. And thank you guys for, you know, watching it and everybody that sent him a happy birthday on Facebook. Thank you guys very much.
Yeah, no problem at all. Teddy is at Teddy Play Along on social media, his Twitter. Follow what's going on with Teddy Long. Also want to remind everybody, the Gerwick Report podcast is available through Gerwick.net, and the new edition of the Gerwick.net website, newly redesigned website, now allows you pretty much just to click the show, stream it, and take it with you. But if you are partial to iTunes, you can download our podcast there, and as well, TuneIn and Stitcher. Download those apps on your mobile devices, and you can stream us on the go. And let's get an update on the YouTube channel.
YouTube channel is doing great. YouTube.com/GerwickNet. Just added some clips up this past weekend with Atlee Green and Adam Cohn talking about SmackDown Live, doing their review. So check it out right now, YouTube.com/GerwickNet. Subscribe to the channel. Thumbs up the videos. Leave your comments. And if you have any comments for the show, you can hit us up at GerwickReport@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And, of course, follow us on social media. The Gerwick Report is at Gerwick Report on Twitter. And you can also follow me and the website itself at Gerwick on Twitter as well. Well, last night was Monday Night Raw, the build-up towards SummerSlam. We had the return of Daniel Bryan, was invited back by Mick Foley. We saw Roman Reigns continue his feud with Rusev, and we saw Lana got the cake. We saw Sean Puffy Combs was also on the show. I don't know, Teddy, did you get a chance to see Raw last night and your overall assessment of the show?
Well, I didn't get a chance to see all of it. I did got a chance to see some clips of Raw. Got a chance to see Sean Combs there. He was with General Manager Mick Foley. Thought that was a pretty decent interview. Also, I had a chance to watch Cesaro, Sheamus, great match. Thought that was good. Always enjoyed Seth Rollins with his promos. I think all his promos are good. So other than that, I thought Raw was a pretty decent show last night.
I mean, Raw had his moments, but I'm not going to even lie. Raw sucked ass last night. And it sucked ass simply because just there was just no energy with the show at all. It was like, you know, I see people on the internet saying, well, you can't expect them to do a good show every single week. Why not? You're building towards one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year, SummerSlam. So why not have a good show each and every week to get me interested in watching the pay-per-view or, you know, watching it on the network or whatever. I think that's the whole point of having Raw and SmackDown is the vehicle to get you to watch the pay-per-views. So I don't get that logic, but nonetheless, I thought Raw last night had its moments. I liked the opening segment there with Enzo and Cass with Jericho and Kevin Owens. I think Jericho and Owens is a tag team. I'm looking forward to that, and they're apparently going to have that match at SummerSlam. Titus O'Neil versus Darren Young, that continues with Darren Young actually getting the victory this week with Titus. Seth Rollins cutting the promo, you know, comparing his Heath Ledger Joker to Finn Balor being Jared Leto's Joker from the Suicide Squad. I thought that was pretty good, but the people in Anaheim couldn't care less about what Seth Rollins had to say. The crowd last night, Steve, was pretty dead in certain spots. And I think that's what kind of made the show drag. I mean, it's not like the show was top-notch and it was one of the best Raws of all time, but the crowd plays a big part in that, I think. Sheamus versus Cesaro, that was a damn good match. It was good. It was stiff. You know, they played a video package last night with Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar, which I thought, you know, sums up that rivalry pretty good, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they actually do at SummerSlam. One of the questions I got, maybe you two can answer this for me, is if you're Sasha Banks and you're the women's champion, why in the world would you ask for a handicap match? Because Dana Brooke is out there. Wouldn't you say, if I win the match tonight on Raw, I want her banned from ringside?
Well, that's the way it should go. You know, that's the right way. You know, you banned her from ringside, then now next week you continue the story, then you can add, you know, that stipulation of a handicap match. Now you can make it like that, but to rush right into it, I don't understand. Why would the champ want to put herself in that position right away? For what reason?
Seems to me that you could actually have a cage match at SummerSlam if you want to keep Dana Brooke out of the match. I would go that route too, but I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, Frank, that makes Dana Brooke look really weak, that the babyface thinks that she can beat Charlotte plus her sidekick in the same match.
Yeah, I get that, but it's just from the standpoint of me being the champion, why would I want to even put myself through that and I'm the champion? You know, that's what I'm saying. But they had a really god-awful segment last night with Rusev and Lana out there, and Roman Reigns came out there, and Roman got one of the biggest pops I've heard him get, and I think it was because people in Anaheim were just bored with this segment, and it was actually getting boring chants. So Roman Reigns comes down and he saves the day, and it looks like we're going to have Roman Reigns versus Rusev at SummerSlam for the U.S. Championship, Steve. So the Roman Reigns, as I, you know, we talked about this before here on GRP, the Roman Reigns redemption storyline is underway, and it's starting him with the mid-card championship, and I think that at SummerSlam he probably will get it.
It's funny, I'm seeing online people saying, well, Roman Reigns is coming back to the mid-card. You didn't expect him to come back to the main event. And certainly they brought up Finn to push him into the main event, which is, I think, a good idea to try to make some new stars. But just this reporting that, well, Roman is relegated to mid-card, what did they expect? Of course he's going to be in mid-card. What else are you going to do with him at this point? If he's not in the title picture, he's on the mid-card.
I think, thank God, he's able to come back and still got a job. That's number one. So, you know, wherever they put him, you know, thank God he's there. You know, he's still employed. He's still working there. Because a lot of guys that were, the thing that happened to him, if it happened to a lot of guys, they would be fired.
The question might be, are they going to put the U.S. Championship on Roman Reigns?
I think they should, honestly, because I think that the fans would be more accepting to Roman Reigns because he's not in the main event. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people just don't believe Roman Reigns as a main eventer, but I think if he's in the mid-card as the U.S. champion, I think people will get behind that. And that's obvious with, you know, some of the reactions that he's been getting lately, especially last night in Anaheim, where the people were down with it. But like I said before, are the people cheering Roman Reigns because they're fans of Roman Reigns, or were they cheering him because, wow, somebody finally came out there to end this boring segment? We then saw a match with Dana Brooke and Sasha Banks, where Sasha Banks beat her with the double knees in the corner. We saw a Finn Balor vignette, which Finn Balor was talking about the meaning of the name Finn Balor.
How about my namesake, Finn McCool? He was a giant who threw a piece of Ireland into the sea. It made the Isle of Man. He was a hero who stabbed his own face with his own poisonous spear to survive the sleeping song of Aileen the Burner and save the city of Tara.
And basically, he was talking about how Seth Rollins is going to meet the demon, so the demon is coming, which was a big complaint from a lot of people that, you know, say Finn Balor should have the makeup on every single week, which I don't think he should do that. I think the demon should only be for special occasions, special matches. They had a ridiculous segment with the club last night. Let me talk about the club for a minute, Anderson and Gallows. You know, I think the outsider effect that Anderson and Gallows had when they first came to WWE a few months ago, I think that's pretty much all null and void now. They're putting heat on them with the New Day. But something tells me at SummerSlam, they're going to probably get jobbed out, Steve.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking they are. Because I remember last year at SummerSlam, the New Day won the championships the first time. So I think that you might see them retain at SummerSlam. I don't really have any faith right now in the club. I don't have any faith right now in Anderson and Gallows because WWE took all the cool factors that these guys had over in Japan and they bring them over here and they completely watered them down. And I don't know. It just shows to show you WWE just they know how to really mess something up. When you have the ingredients right there in front of you to actually do something cool, and you have these guys who are part of the dominant faction in wrestling, Bullet Club, and you just bring them over here now, and they don't mean anything. They're just, you know, two guys on the roster now, pretty much it.
You know, Frank, I tend to agree with you, but at some point, the New Day will drop the tag titles, and if it's not the club, who do they drop them to?
I would like to see it be the club. I would like to see that. Because I think that the New Day as babyfaces chasing the club would be better. But I just don't think WWE is going to pull the trigger, especially now since they came out with this damn Serio and all of that. So I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I really don't. I thought at first that, yeah, okay, the club is going to get the championships. But I'm not so sure now. I don't know. They actually had a segment last night on Raw with Mick Foley and Daniel Bryan, which it's kind of talking about, you know, Brock Lesnar invading SmackDown last week and Mick Foley apologizing for what happened to Randy Orton. So it was a meaningless segment that led up to a match between Cesaro and Rusev for the U.S. Championship. It was a really good match that saw Cesaro lose and Roman Reigns coming out at the end of the show, spears Rusev in the aisleway, and that's how Raw went off the air. So I said Raw had its moments, but it's just... Since that first week of the new era of Raw, it's just been declining ever since. And once again, people say, well, you can't expect them to have a good show every week. Dude, I was just watching 1997 Raws on the network this past weekend, okay, watching them build up to In Your House, you know, Revenge of Taker, and, you know, watching them build up to SummerSlam, Bret versus Undertaker with Shawn as a special guest referee. Every week, it was a good show. So I don't understand the logic in that at all. When you're building towards pay-per-views, you should be putting out your best product. And right now, to me, WWE is not doing that. They're going back to the same formula and being lazy. And now they're talking, Steve, you know, we were talking offline about, they're talking about trading Randy Orton to Raw and putting Cesaro and Owens over to SmackDown. So I don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, we should mention that here, the speculation. And, of course, this is through Dave Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer newsletter. And no surprise here, Teddy, they're already starting to second-guess some of the draft choices and how they're making up the rosters. And the rumor that's out there would be Kevin Owens and Cesaro going to SmackDown and Randy Orton ending up on Raw. Does that make sense, or does that just kind of make Raw so much stronger that take one of the main players of WWE's roster, one of the main eventers, and put him on Raw?
Well, I think it makes more sense now. I mean, at first, look at it. You got Randy Orton and you got John Cena on the same show. So, you know, that's what I thought didn't make much sense. So I think what they're doing now is moving Randy Orton over to Raw, which I believe is going to help Raw and it's probably going to help Raw's ratings. So I think that's a good move on their part. And with Kevin Owens and Cesaro, I mean, these are two great wrestlers, two great competitors. I think they'll do well on SmackDown.
Yeah, what do you think of this potential trade, Frank? I like Cesaro and Owens. I guess if you think about it, it could help SmackDown. Even though you lose a main event player, you get two really good wrestlers with Kevin Owens and Cesaro. Gives them more depth to the roster, even though you lose one of the main players. But again, would this come off saying, wow, you know, here's Raw steals another main event player from SmackDown?
Well, I mean, look at what we said before, Steve. You know, you told me SmackDown gets 2 draft picks, Raw gets 3, because Raw is a 3-hour show. Well, now you're trading one guy for 2. Kind of like back in the day with Triple H. Remember when Triple H got traded, you know, from SmackDown or to Raw? It took 3 guys. It took the Dudley Boys and Booker T to bring Triple H back to Raw. So it's kind of the same kind of situation going on here. And I just think that it makes SmackDown look kind of weak, to be honest with you, because you're taking one of the big guns from SmackDown, you put them on Raw for whatever reason. I don't get it. I think that there's more potential with Orton being on SmackDown because Orton can have some fresh matches here with a guy like AJ Styles, which is something that Orton mentioned. And bottom line is this, is that, you know, Randy Orton mentioned on Twitter that he wanted to wrestle AJ Styles. So if Randy Orton goes to Raw now, Steve, I don't really see that match happening at this point. And I think that kind of sucks. I really want to see that. I want to see what AJ Styles and Randy Orton actually can go out there and do in the ring, and it would be something fresh. If you go and take Randy Orton over to the Raw brand, are we going to see Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins again?
You know, something I thought about, Teddy, was they announced during the week that Daniel Bryan was invited by Mick Foley to be a part of Raw. I really kind of expected them to do more of trades. Let's do some speculation. So-and-so could be dealt. Maybe it's too early because you just established both rosters, but I do think there's an imbalance, and it's probably going to stay that way. Even if they do make a couple of trades, it's going to be, you know, Raw is their baby. Raw is the A show. SmackDown is the B show. But, you know, looking at these numbers of the ratings, the split so far has not caused much of a bounce. In fact, last week's ratings actually went down a little bit. So I don't know. Is a trade going to help at this point? Does it help Randy Orton? Does it help SmackDown? I don't know, Teddy. For me, I would just kind of keep the speculation out there that so-and-so could be traded. You never know. Maybe turn on a show and so-and-so's been traded. Why not at least throw that out there as a possibility?
Well, I mean, that's kind of the way it always works. I mean, you know, they're still in the process of trying something to see if this is going to work, if it's going to work for them. So I would expect to see probably some more trades. You know what I mean? I would expect to see that coming. Until they can get a grip here and find out exactly what their niche is, you know, what's going to work for them and what's not going to work for them, I think we're just going to have maybe, you know, ratings are going to be down, and then maybe some weeks they're going to be up. I just don't know what to tell you. I really don't.
Well, ratings don't matter anyways, so.
Well, that's what they say, but I thought always that ratings sold advertisement. That's how you made money.
It was funny, what, the first week of the brand split, didn't Michael Cole bring up that SmackDown essentially beat Raw the first week, and now you're seeing the imbalance, because Raw's always going to get a higher number. It's the Monday night show, even though I think you can say, Frank, that the pattern for watching these shows are different. Certainly, like you can just sit there and DVR it or watch the next day or just watch what you want to watch of the show, but at the end of the day, you know, Raw's still going to draw the bigger numbers, although you have to be concerned. I mean, 2.3 was the Raw rating last week, and we don't know what Raw did last night because we're recording this on Tuesday, but I don't expect much of a bounce, even though it's the SummerSlam hype, that this is just kind of the pattern they're into right now.
It was really a throwaway show last night, Steve. I mean, that's what it was. I mean, I actually was watching it, and I turned it off in the middle, and I'm like, well, this show is really dragging, so I'm just going to turn over the network. So I watched the go-home show for Survivor Series 97, and yeah, that was a better show than last night's Raw, of course. Moving forward, I mean, you just don't know. I mean, the first week, yeah, it was a lot of hype behind it, and they delivered it. You know, that first week, SmackDown and Raw, the new era, Raw was taking shots at SmackDown and talking about the ratings, and I don't really hear them saying that on commentary anymore.
What's the point? I mean, everybody knows Raw is the A show. So.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, yeah.
I mean, when they tell you up front that for every, what, 2 draft picks, SmackDown gets 1. I mean, they're telling you that SmackDown's the B show. It's got 1 less hour. It's going to have 1 less draft pick compared to the 2 Raw gets. So they're telling you up front that just because we're doing a brand split, nothing's really going to change.
No, you know something to me, honestly, dude? Daniel Bryan and Mick Foley as the GMs of Raw and SmackDown, they're just not doing it for me. Especially last week with Daniel Bryan's flub calling Apollo Creed. That was funny, but it's not doing it for me. I know there's people out there that are big, you know, fans of Daniel Bryan and Mick Foley, and that's great. That's your opinion, but my opinion is it's just not working for me. And I can see why now they keep the McMahons around.
Yeah, especially in the case of Daniel Bryan. We knew, you know, Teddy, we knew going in Daniel Bryan's strength is not really on the mic. And already, what, week three, he has a major gaffe. And I guess they poked a little bit of fun at it on social media. But, you know, how long do you stay with Daniel Bryan? I understand that they created a new role for him, but at the same time, that's not really his strength. And I agree with Frank. I mean, neither one of these choices, Foley or Daniel Bryan, does much for me. And one of the reasons you used to watch Raw back in the day would be, see, like Stone Cold would come out and he would talk, and you want to see what Stone Cold have to say. Really, so far, these general managers are just not really clicking.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I hate to put any input into it, you know, because first thing somebody's going to say, well, you're just saying it because it's not you. But I'm just going to just tell the truth. You know, Mick Foley and Daniel Bryan are great guys. I mean, Mick Foley was one of the guys that had, was basically the only guy that had something real nice to really say about me after I left WWE. And Daniel Bryan and myself, we always got along. I thought he was a great guy. So, I care a lot about both of these guys, but they're just not in their role. They're good at what they do, but what they do, they wrestle. You know what I mean? And that's what the people, you know, expect from them. But people know now that Mick Foley's retired from the ring. He's not able to get back in. Daniel Bryan's retired due to his injury. And I think WWE is, you know, we got to pick these guys, so maybe we can put him in a role here. So, you know, as we continue to pay him, let's find something for him to do. So maybe they thought this was the thing for them to do, you know. I mean, that's their decision. But to me, it's just not their role. They just, there's no chemistry there, not at all.
No, I agree with you. And I just wonder, Frank, is, you know, how long do you stay with Daniel Bryan? I think in the case of Mick Foley, Mick Foley is known to be a talker, certainly has strong promo skills, but Daniel Bryan, that's just not his forte. And I understand, you know, we had this debate already, you know, you have to have a role for him, you're paying him. I don't know, can he be a trainer? Can he do something behind the scenes? Can he be an agent? I'm not going to say give up him after 3 weeks, but you know, going forward, this is just not his strength, and it just seems like they could put somebody else in that role, and I'm not trying to say, you know, put Teddy in this role because Teddy's on the show. But at the same time, there's somebody else out there that could do a better job in being the SmackDown general manager. And at some point, I don't know, I know they say they don't care about ratings, but, I mean, they have to be at least cognitive of the ratings. And at some point, you know, maybe try something different.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about this right now, and I'm kind of thinking as you're saying, maybe Daniel Bryan will get better as we move forward, because like you say, it's only been 3 weeks. Maybe he'll get better. I will say that I've enjoyed his commentary with Mauro Ranallo on the Cruiserweight Classic on the WWE Network. I think he's pretty good at doing that. But it's just him and the role of the general manager. It's just, to me, it's not believable. You know, I would have loved to have seen somebody in that role, maybe, you know, an Eric Bischoff returning in that position, or, you know, a Teddy Long. Or maybe even a Stone Cold Steve Austin as a general manager. I think Steve Austin would have came out there. That would have been great to have him out there in that role. I mean, he did it before. But, you know, when he was co-GMs with Bischoff and he was the sheriff, remember that deal they had going on there? So that was pretty funny stuff. But it's just, to me, Foley and Austin are just not doing it for me.
Well, you know, on the flip side, and I didn't mean to put Teddy on the spot there as far as asking that question, he's not the general manager, but I don't know. Is the general manager right now the scapegoat? Because, I mean, we can sit here and say, you know, Mick Foley and Daniel Bryan not really working. Obviously more so on the Daniel Bryan side on SmackDown. But are they the scapegoat to say at the same time, yeah, we can criticize Foley and we can criticize Bryan and we can criticize Shane and Stephanie, etc. But they're the scapegoat because the roster's still weak. He already took a very weak roster and you split it in two. And I know they're going to start adding some veterans to these rosters, but at the same time, it goes back to talent. I mean, the reason you watch wrestling is talent, and right now, WWE's talent roster is not very deep. So are the general managers right now kind of the scapegoat for people to say, well, I don't really like these guys, but at the same time, what's the glaring need is obviously to make more stars.
Well, I don't think the general managers are the scapegoats. I mean, I think there's just, you know what I mean? People are not stupid. You know what I mean? They already know. They know what the real deal is. And they know, just like when I was there, you know, when you make a trade or you do something with somebody, you know, that everything there, you know, that's part of the script. That's what we do. So I don't think it has no, I don't think the general managers have nothing to do with it. I think what needs to be done is they need to give the general managers some people to work with. They need to give them, you know, maybe, you know, change that trade a little different, you know, so it will make the general managers look like they made good decisions. But right now, with the way the trade is going, the general manager, like you say, maybe the scapegoat, they're not, you know, they're getting credit for making bad decisions when it's really not their decision.
Well, speaking of talent, they released a list that got a little bit of a buzz there on the internet. WWE's hottest free agent list. And I'm going to go over the names here on this list. Obviously, some of them are talent that they have, it's just not been assigned to a particular roster. And then, of course, there's always a couple of names thrown in there to get a little bit of a buzz. So the list includes The Undertaker, The Rock, Nikki Bella, The Brian Kendrick, Bailey, Crime Time, Carlito, Mickey James, which got the buzz of the internet, the speculation that maybe Mickey James would come back, The Great Khali, and Tajiri, who I believe is in the Cruiserweight Challenge Series right now. As you look at this list, Frank, does anything stand out at you as far as maybe they should bring one of these guys in, or are they just totally throwing out names just to get the internet buzzing a little bit?
I think they're just throwing out names to get the internet buzzing. That's pretty much what they're doing here. I think they already have a plan of the veterans that they want to reach out to bring them back and, you know, integrate them with the two brands here. So I wouldn't put much stock into that list.
And real quickly, Frank, before we go back to Teddy, of that list, is there anybody on that list you'd like to see come back?
I think Mickey James. Mickey James would be good.
I would agree with you. I don't know, Teddy, Crime Time. Do you think Crime Time could work?
Well, I think Crime Time would be good for the SmackDown show. You know, those guys were real, you know, very entertaining when they were there. You know, and they're great guys. You know, they, you know, got into a little bit of trouble at one time, you know, but things happen, you know, so I think they'll be all right now. But I'd like to see them over on the SmackDown show.
Yeah, I will agree with Teddy on that one. Crime Time, definitely. I would like to see Crime Time come back, but is it going to be the same thing as before? Are they actually going to push Crime Time to, you know, tag team championships? I mean, you know, Crime Time is probably one of the tag teams out there that actually can still go. That'd be the question if they were to bring Crime Time back. I think Crime Time and Mickey James, yeah.
But I believe what one of them, I think it's Shad, doesn't wrestle anymore, does he?
I'm
think
not
one
sure.
of them does comic books.
I know Shad was
writing.
I know Shad was doing something. I think he was getting into movies or something. I don't know, but I don't think he's really retired from wrestling. I think he still does the indies. I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know if they would be called back. Do you think they'd want to come back at this point?
Well, yeah, everybody's going to come back for a paycheck if they're out of work. You know, they'll come back.
The Great Khali. Why is the Great Khali even on this list?
Somebody likes him.
Who?
<That's
laughs> Who likes the Great Khali?
That's the whole point of where I said I wouldn't put much stock into the list. Because if they bring the Great Khali back, my God.
Ugh.
I mean, you know, that's, there you go right there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they talk about the new era and all that or whatever, and that's just by name. Because if you're bringing all these, you know, guys back here, veterans back to the roster, it's not really the new era. You know, there's nothing new about it. And it's kind of funny because, like I said, you know, I'm always on the network, so You have no idea, Steve, how many times I've heard Vince McMahon back in the day talk about this is a new era in the WWF over and over and over again. It's always a new era.
It's a new era, and you know what's funny is I think year after year, since he's been released, his name always resurfaces, and now he makes this list. Carlito's name always comes up as a possible returnee to WWE. Do we ever see Carlito ever returning to WWE?
Well, I don't know. You just never know what may happen. You know what I mean? Carlito, he's another good guy, you know, great worker. So there was rumors one time that he was coming back, and then I guess that didn't happen. So I don't know. You just never know who you might see.
I don't know, Frank, the Brian Kendrick, did they put him maybe on Raw to be part of the Cruiserweight division?
I would think they would see, but the problem with the Cruiserweight division is why is the Cruiserweight division only on one show? That's something more fitting to me would be on SmackDown. But that's just me.
You know, Frank, you were pitching an idea before we started this show was, well, you know, back in the day they could separate these hours a little bit with a little bit of pyro to maybe get the fans into it. You were talking about the fans weren't into the show last night, and obviously it was not a great show. So you're 3 hours into a show, and what they do, what, a main event before the show, they tape some matches or do something dark. maybe something to do is to infuse the crowd, was do a little pyro, get a little hype into the show, spend a little money, and really build up that, you know, we're going into the next hour or we're halfway through the show, something to say, hey, now things are going to start picking up a little bit from here.
I mean, that's what they used to do back in the day during WCW Nitro. When that hour number two, you would see the dynamite in the corner of the screen, and it would be counting down. And all of a sudden, even if a match was going on in the ring, pyrotechnics would go off in the arena, let you know, hey, this is hour number two of Nitro. Same thing with Raw. When they first started doing the Raw's War show, during the second hour, they would have pyrotechnics run up in the building. And that's just basically to keep the audience interested and engaged in the show, and also to wake them up, because these people are sitting here for a long time. I mean, like, you know, they do those matches before. You know, you have the dark match, and then you have matches that are taped for superstars or main event or whatever, and then you go through Raw, and you're sitting there through the commercial break. It's a lot of stuff, man, so you got to keep these people up on their feet. So a big boom will do that.
I think it's a good idea, Teddy. Spend a little money and put a little pyro or something to hype up the crowd. As we've said already, these shows are getting very long to watch.
Well, I agree with Frank. Yeah, I'd like to see more. You know, another set of pyro going off there. It was like they used to do when they had the Kiss Cam. You know, they would use that, you know, and that kind of got the people, you know, up and back into it, you know. But now I don't think that they do anything at all. I mean, I'm not there. I don't know. But I agree, yeah, another set of pyro, get them, you know, wake them up, get them back out there.
We're going to talk a little bit about this Conor McGregor situation. It got the WWE and the wrestling community all in a tither. We'll talk about that and more right after this.
The Gerwick Report podcast is available via Gerwick.net. Download today on iTunes. Also can be streamed on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio.
Oh, yeah!
Visit our YouTube channel, search Gerwick Report Podcast, and subscribe.
For all of your pro wrestling news, check out Gerwick.net, your number one source for wrestling news since 1997.
Check out the official t-shirt store for Gerwick and the Gerwick Report Podcast at prowrestlingtees.com/Gerwick. All t-shirts are just $17.99 plus shipping and handling. Or just visit prowrestlingtees.com and search Gerwick to find our store.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I am the infamous Carolina Lee Waters, here to tell you that for all your wrestling news, rumors, and gossip, you need to go to Gerwick.net.
And now, another classic Teddy Long moment.
John Morrison beat CM Punk last week. Now, Teddy, I know CM Punk's defending the world title against Jeff Hardy at Night of Champions, but I think I deserve to take on the winner of that match. You know what I mean, Teddy? Teddy!
What's going on, man? I'm sorry about that, player. Hey, I was just thinking about the BET Award, man.
Oh, the one with the Michael Jackson tribute?
Oh, yeah, you watched that?
Yeah, man, I love Michael Jackson.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you remember the times
when I beat CM Punk? Man, who could forget that?
Well, that's a thriller! Thriller!
Now, yeah, Teddy, that match was a thriller until after the bell. CM Punk hit me with the GTS. Kind of like a smooth criminal.
Don't. You want to be starting something. You want to be starting something. All right.
And I hope CM Punk don't want to be starting something with me, Teddy, because I'm bad. I'm bad. Y'all know it. And the whole world has to answer right back just to tell you once again who's bad.
You bad.
I'm bad.
Hey, man. I like that, man. Thank you very much. All right?
All right.
Now, you know what? I think it's time for you just to beat it all over the world. Beat it.
Show beat it. How fucking strong is your fight. Forgot my
just
sunglasses.
Beat it. Yeah.
Quick note here, Frank, before we get into this Conor McGregor situation, we're talking about WWE talent WWE actually did confirm on their website that Ryback's contract is officially expired. I guess he went on to social media, did a little video, said he's now a free agent. So maybe WWE felt they had to confirm that Ryback is not there. Certainly, he was not mentioned in the hot 10 hottest free agents right now. But at least at this point, Ryback's a free agent, and I don't know. Where do you see him going from here?
I don't know, Steve. It just seems like with Ryback, it's, to me, wasted opportunity. Because at one point, Ryback was really hot, and he was really hot when he was going out for the championship. And at one point, they could have put that belt on Ryback. I don't really think it would have hurt anything. And then after the heel turn and doing the matches with John Cena, he just declined. So, I don't know, man. It's hard to say where he goes from here. I mean, the obvious would be either he goes to Ring of Honor or TNA. Those would be the options there. So, I don't know. We won't know anything until, Ryback comes out and says what he's going to do. But he did do a video the other day talking about, he was a free agent, and he wished the WWE well in their future endeavors.
The big guy Ryback would like to wish the WWE the best in their future endeavors. From this point forward, myself and the WWE will no longer be conducting business together. I would like to personally say thank you to all the WWE performers whom I've had the pleasure of being in the ring with. The big guy Ryback is also going to be wrestling a full schedule. So for booking information, please use bookthebigguy@yahoo.com. I would like to say thank you to everybody out there. And successful people are always hungry. What are you? Feed me more.
That's what he said.
And I did see something on social media where he's starting to work some of the indie shows.
Let's make a prediction right now. Today is August the 9th. Do we see Ryback in WWE by August 9th, 2017?
Well, I've learned this. You never say never. So that's my answer to that. You never know.
I think that he'll go out there on the indies and he'll get the buzz going a little bit. But I think ultimately Ryback has unfinished business at WWE. So I definitely do see Ryback going back there one day. Whether it's a year from now, 2 years from now, who knows? But I definitely do believe that he'll go back there. I think Ryback will want to become the WWE champion, which is something he never got to accomplish. So, like I said, unfinished business.
Yeah, I think he'll be back at some point. I don't know how long it'll be, but I do think he'll be back and probably a main event player when he comes back. And especially now if the rosters stay weak, they're going to start infusing some talent into the Raw and SmackDown rosters. They announced a couple of veterans. Although we should note to Shelton Benjamin, who was announced as returning to the SmackDown brand, put out a tweet that said, he's very sorry at this point he can't return thanks to a shoulder injury. The only thing I was surprised about this, Frank, was that this wasn't cleared by WWE. Before you make the announcement that Shelton is returning, you think he goes through medicals, he takes his physical, and they are confident that he can return. It seems odd that they would sign the guy, then they realize that he has a shoulder situation, may need surgery, and then obviously he's not returning at this point.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, man, because we first heard the rumblings about Shelton Benjamin going back to the WWE. It was right here on GRP, so I don't know. It's kind of weird. It was very weird that they would sign the guy, but they I think that's usually how it goes, Steve. I think they bring you in and then they do the medical. And it was something that Shelton Benjamin said that the WWE doctors, they saw it, and it's something that can't be avoided. He needs to get it fixed. Apparently, the door is not closed on the return for Shelton Benjamin to the company. So, I think that's a good thing. I think that they're kind of, invested in Shelton, and I think we'll see Shelton come back when, he's done with the surgery and he's recuperated. And I think he'll be back. I think he'll be back to, being on the SmackDown roster. But the thing about that is, man, is that, Shelton Benjamin is older now. Having an injury like this could be a huge setback, and sometimes recoveries, they don't work out too well. So hopefully everything goes right with Shelton.
Yeah, I was going to ask Teddy, do you think he makes a full recovery, and do you think eventually he will be on WWE television again?
Well, I think he'll make a full recovery. Shelton's been a guy that's, kept himself in tremendous shape, and, it's just unfortunate for him, but I'm really glad it happened like that. I'm glad that he didn't get in the ring first and then, get hurt all over again, and, because that could have really been a big setback. So the way that it happened, the doctors found out about it, or he told them about it or whatever, and they need to get it straight or take care of it, and that's the proper way to do it.
Maybe, Teddy, you can speak to the protocol. It would seem to me that the first thing they would do before they would sign somebody would at least have them checked out by a doctor or a physical, or do you get the physical after you sign the contract?
Well, I mean, that would be the right way to do it. You know, like I always say, you know, I don't know why, whether they went by that procedure at all. I mean, I just don't know what happened there. So I don't know. I really can't answer that question. But I mean, looked like they would find that out before you sign somebody. But like I said, we don't know what happened. We don't really know the story on that. So I can't talk about it.
Well, I hope he does return. I always liked Shelton, and I think he could be a valuable member of the roster. As I said, they definitely need to influx some veteran talent into the mix. And I don't know, Frank, we heard all kinds of names. Molina's name has popped up. Now I saw some speculation on maybe John Morrison. I don't know who's out there that they could bring in right now that's a veteran that could really improve the rosters.
I don't know, Steve, because here's the thing. The problem with this is that a lot of these guys here that are coming back to the company, they're a lot older now than they were when they left. And times have changed. The way to work in the ring at WWE has kind of changed now from when they were there. So I don't know. I mean, John Morrison, hey, you know, he's a guy that, you know, could be a pretty good hand there. He could probably be a main eventer on the SmackDown side. But I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell right now if they bring in these guys and if they're really going to have a big impact, because the show is just, you know, the shows are back to being what they were. You know, it's declining every single week here, especially when it comes down to Raw. And all the emphasis, you know, during the draft was put on Monday Night Raw. And in Raw, it's back to what it was. So I don't know. I don't know who right now could actually help the roster, because, like I said before, a lot of guys are older now than what they were.
Yeah, that name surfaced, I think, with the rumors of Molina, Johnny Mundo, and Lucha Underground. I don't know, Teddy, could you see John Morrison returning? And if he would return, do you think he could be a main player in WWE?
Well, I do think John Morrison could be a main player in WWE. I mean, it's like Frank said, you know, you guys are getting older. But John Morrison, I've seen him lately. He still looks good. He's still in good shape. And, you know, he was a crowd favorite when he was there. They liked him. So I think he could really help them if he came back.
I agree.
And I don't want to, and you know, here's the thing. I don't want to put a lot of the emphasis on the age thing here. And I'm not doing that. What I'm basically saying is that the style that they're wrestling right now in WWE is a much more fast-paced, high-impact style than what was going on when John Morrison was last there. You know, but I think John Morrison could be a pretty good hand there. I think he actually could come back and once again, being that upper, you know, mid-card main event level, absolutely. But I'm not sure of his contract status right now. I think he's still, you know, locked in with Lucha Underground.
And then I wanted to touch on that, too. You know, I think with his time that he spent with Lucha Underground, you know, he's had to keep up. I mean, they got a lot of fast-paced moving guys there, you know, high flyers, and John has been able to keep up in there. So I think he may be all right if he came back to WWE. You know, I basically feel he'd fit right in.
Yeah, I've seen his stuff on Lucha Underground. I think, you know, I think you're right about that. But people like Shelton Benjamin, who's, you know, in his 40s, you know, he might be 40. I mean, the guy, you know, a rotator cuff injury is a serious deal. I don't know, man.
And I'm intrigued, too. We've heard all kinds of names, you know, speculated, possible returnees. A name I've not really heard, I kind of surprised about him. I think he's still on good terms with them. Rey Mysterio. I know he's, working in Mexico now. I'm surprised his name hasn't surfaced as a possible returnee to WWE.
You know, honestly, Steve, here's the thing with Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio was there in the company, and Rey Mysterio would work maybe a Raw here, and then you wouldn't see the guy for a year. I mean, honestly, what can Rey Mysterio bring to the table at this point? When you have guys on the roster, you know, like Kalisto, you can build with Kalisto. You know, Kalisto's younger, and he's faster than Rey Mysterio. So I just, to me, honestly, how would Rey Mysterio fit in the new era, pretty much? You know, that's what they call it, the new era, right? Well, how would Rey Mysterio fit into that? Especially a guy who, you know, is injury prone.
Well, I mean, they were going to bring back Shelton. He doesn't exactly fit the new era either.
None of these guys do. I mean, yeah, it's hypocritical, it's contradictory, absolutely. But at the same time, here's the difference. Rey Mysterio, the only thing I can see them bringing Rey Mysterio back for is Rey Mysterio, you know, they can market the mask, the merchandise. But what's going to happen if you bring Mysterio back? Is it going to be the same thing like Shelton Benjamin? You bring Rey Mysterio into the company, and what happens if Mysterio gets injured? Okay, then you've invested in this guy and he gets hurt. So he's going to be out for 6 months. He's going to be out for a year. Same thing. And especially when you got a bunch of talents down there, you know, in NXT that can be used in those spots.
There's a pros and cons. Teddy, what do you think about the possibility of bringing back Mysterio?
I don't think Ray is going to come back. I mean, I could be wrong. I think Ray is really enjoying himself where he is. I mean, he's made a lot of money with the Lucha Underground people. As far as I know, he's got a good deal. He did some cartoons and some other stuff with them. So I think Ray's pretty much happy and satisfied now. You know, like I say, you never say never, but I really don't think, you know, we'll be seeing him.
Yeah, I just thought, I agree, you know, he's at the end of his career, but name value, you're trying to influx a little bit into a very stale roster right now. You split the rosters in half. I don't know, it's just a name I thought. You always hear certain names as possibility returning. And this time I haven't really heard Ray's name out there. Maybe it's been mentioned, Frank. Maybe I just missed it, but I just haven't heard his name. I just thought, I'm surprised his name hasn't resurfaced. Maybe it will at some point. I don't know.
But, you know, the problem I have with them bringing back these veterans and guys that they're talking about bringing back is these guys never actually really drew WWE any money. You know, they were the mid-carders at best. So if these guys didn't work for you the first time around and they were expendable because you released them, what impact are they possibly going to have now except, you know, filling in spaces on the roster that you don't have instead of building towards the future? I mean, wasn't this the same exact shit that people would always bash WCW for back in the day? But it's okay now, right?
Well, I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying, you know, it's obvious that these rosters are weak enough. They have to put something on these rosters to give them a little bit of flavor, if nothing else.
Well, that's all WWE's fault. That's Vince McMahon's fault because he got complacent. They weren't building, you know, stars. They were building a star with, you know, John Cena and, you know, Randy Orton and Batista got lucky along the way, you know, but that's the problem. They weren't looking at the bigger picture, and that's why it is like it is now.
Lack of competition.
It does it every time.
Yep. Get very complacent, and this is the situation you're into right now. Unfortunately. Well, one guy who's not complacent is Conor McGregor of UFC. He made some very interesting comments on his social media and actually did an interview where he basically called pro wrestlers, a lot of them are pussies. He blasted Brock Lesnar as a juiced-up cheater. And then later, after he got a little bit of flack from the wrestling community, he clarified his position by saying, "I didn't mean no disrespect to WWE fans. What I mean to say is that I would slap the head off your entire roster and twice on Sundays," which sounds like a reference to a phrase that Stone Cold Steve Austin would say back in the day. But Teddy, a lot of the wrestlers in WWE, Chris Jericho, Bubba Ray Dudley, responded, Sasha Banks, Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns. It appeared by seeing all these responses that maybe WWE sent a memo out to the talent to say, "Hey, we can't let this slide. They're coming after us on a personal level. We have to respond to this guy." Are you surprised by, A, the comments of Conor, and then obviously the response from the wrestling community?
Well, no, I'm not surprised at Conor's statement. I mean, to me, it just sounds like a great wrestling promo. So, you know, WWE is always thinking of ways to draw money and to make money. So, you know, this could all be a big work. I mean, I don't know, you know what I mean? But I understand the fans sticking up for the WWE talent. I don't blame them for that, but like I said, I'll have to wait and see how this plays out. But to me, it just sounds like a wrestling promo.
It was classic heel shit. And he worked everybody into the palm of his hands, pretty much. I mean, the whole deal right there, slapped him twice on Sundays. That's Stone Cold Steve Austin back in the day. That's exactly what Stone Cold Steve Austin would say. So, I mean, he already knew that he got the reaction that he got, and he just added on to it. You know, added fuel to the fire, pretty much. So it was great. You know, I don't really see what the big, you know, uproar was about the whole situation. I thought it was kind of funny. And all these people, you know, commenting, Kurt Angle, Big E, Sasha Banks, Jericho, everybody. I mean, Kevin Owens.
Rick Flair.
Yeah, Rick Flair, he went psycho on this shit. He went nuts. The only one I saw that I actually thought was kind of cool was Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens basically just, he wouldn't acknowledge it at all, you know. You know, I don't know, man. Like Teddy said, it could be all one big work. It could be setting up something for Conor. There could be some kind of deal going on between UFC and the WWE that we don't know about, and that could all be going back to the Brock Lesnar situation. But, I mean, who knows, man? You know?
That's right. That was who knows?
That was my first speculation. My first thought was this is all a work. Maybe this is part of the Brock Lesnar deal. Obviously, WWE got the free plug for using, you know, UFC using Brock, so they got the plug for SummerSlam. Maybe at some point, I know they've wanted Ronda Rousey in the past, and certainly her star is not shining as brightly as it once did, but I don't know. Do we ever see at some point maybe somebody coming over from UFC to return the favor, to work something on WWE? I don't know if I'm going to put a UFC fighter in a ring against a WWE opponent, but do we actually see maybe something with UFC, somebody from UFC, a personality in UFC showing up in a WWE situation?
Well, I don't know. I can't answer that, but it's like I said, you know, Vince is all about that dollar. And if there's something, if there's enough interest in this Conor McGregor stuff to make money or to drop the money, and Vince sees it there, he's going to go for it.
I think that if there's money to be made, like Teddy said, then Vince will go for it. But now, you know, the controversy with Brock Lesnar surrounding, you know, his fight with Mark Hunt, and now UFC has removed Brock Lesnar from their official rankings. I don't really know how that relationship is right now. But nonetheless, if you bring Conor McGregor over there, and let's say you put him in this environment with WWE, who does Conor McGregor work with? That's the key. That's the question. And this is all speculative right now that we're saying. We're just, you know, just basically kind of like playing fantasy booker right now. If you bring McGregor in, because McGregor has this whole stigma right now, you know, he bashes the WWE roster, he calls him a bunch of pussies, yada, yada, yada. Everybody falls for it. He's working everybody here. Great classic heel shit. And people don't get that. And I'm surprised, really, WWE guys didn't get that McGregor's working them. That's just crazy to me. But you bring McGregor over to WWE, let's just say this happens, and maybe it happens, I don't know, WrestleMania next year. Who do you put McGregor in the ring with on the roster? Who can go up against Conor McGregor to defend, you know, sports entertainment?
Chris Jericho. I don't know. I just threw a name out. I don't know. Sheamus? He's kind of a bar fighter.
I mean, Sheamus should work, but yeah. I think that if you're going to do a match like this and you really want to draw some money, I mean, you know, there's a size difference there, but the obvious one would be Brock Lesnar.
You know, it's funny because Dana White is always very sour about, you know, kind of the crossover between mixed martial arts and pro wrestling. But at the end of the day, he kind of got in a pickle. He needed Brock Lesnar for his UFC 200 pay-per-view, a big pay-per-view. So maybe, I don't know, this is part of the deal, part of the payback. Like I said, he got the SummerSlam promo on the UFC pay-per-view. But like Frank would say, who cares? Nobody in UFC is going to order SummerSlam, at least if you're a big mixed martial arts fan. You're not going to watch what's considered the fake stuff. You're going to watch the UFC pay-per-view. So I don't know. I'm just speculating myself. I don't know. How about Randy Orton versus McGregor?
Well, I mean, see, we don't really want to use the F word here on the show. Let's just call it scripted entertainment.
Well, that's the perception.
No, I get that. But but people will go crazy on you if you do that.
Well, I didn't say it. I mean, that's just a speculation. That's what people say. And obviously, the UFC fans are going to say they agree with Conor McGregor that he could probably wipe the floor with anybody in WWE to a certain degree, other than maybe Brock, because he's a UFC fighter. But I don't know, Teddy, do you buy that? Do you think Conor McGregor could take everybody on the roster out twice on Sunday?
No, I don't buy that. There's some guys I'm pretty sure he could probably do that too, but there's some guys there on that roster that are legitimately tough, you know, tough guys, so I don't see him taking out everybody.
You know, Frank, I agree with you. I'm really surprised WWE responded. That's why it makes it seem like a work, because typically they don't respond to that in a public forum, and this time everybody started to do that. I remember, what, a couple of years ago or maybe a year ago, TNA, some of the TNA people, they got the memo to put things out, and suddenly everybody in TNA is tweeting about something. I think it was the change of networks or whatever. But I'm really surprised WWE even responded to this at all.
Well, see, didn't they respond to Dana White when Dana White basically said that WWE's network content wasn't worth nothing? I mean, that's the fake stuff, and we're the real stuff at UFC. He said something in that context, and all the WWE, you know, talent, you know, went after Dana White?
Nothing on his roster is worth $9.99.
Exactly. Yeah, something like that, yeah. So, and then everybody, you know, everybody came after. So this is no different. No different at all. But at the same time, it's like, okay, the guy is – he's basically cutting a wrestling promo. It's pretty much what he's doing. And he saw the reaction he got, and then he did it again and got an even bigger reaction. That's what you do.
Right.
You know, and people out there actually thinking this, that this is like legitimate, I don't know what to tell you. It's not.
One thing that may be legitimate, although it's speculation and we don't know and nothing's official yet, the Big Show did an interview where he says he's going to take on Shaquille O'Neal at WrestleMania 33. So, I don't know, Teddy, does that excite you? WrestleMania 33, Shaquille O'Neal against the Big Show.
No, that doesn't excite me. You know what I mean? I imagine if they, you know, get Shaquille in the ring and, you know, get him straightened out a little bit and let's kind of build the story a little bit, or just don't use it and to just hype it up as, you know, something that people want to see. I mean, I don't know. That's another one. I'll just have to wait and see how it plays out.
I don't think he must be. I mean, he basically said that's going to happen. So it seems like there must be something going on behind the scenes here.
Well, I mean, he said it's going to happen, but, you know, until WWE confirms it, it's not happening.
Right. What did you think about that match? I know, obviously, it doesn't excite us. We like to see, you know, wrestling, but two big stars, two big names, maybe put them in the ring?
Ah, shit, Steve. I think it's years too late for it, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, it fits the bill for WrestleMania because it's an attraction, but I just think it's too late. I think it's something that should have been done years ago. They want to do it now. I mean, I guess it's kind of like a now or never kind of situation. But if it's going to be if WWE pulls the trigger on it, which I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Well, like
nothing,
I said.
Nothing I want to see.
Well, I mean, but, like I said, I mean, if you go out there and if you do the match, whatever, and it's just kind of like one of those little maybe 5-10 minute kind of deals, whatever, I mean, what's it actually going to hurt, you know? I mean, Shaq was in the Andre Battle Royal this year, and people were like, holy shit, there's Shaq. And then it was over, you know? So if it's kind of one of those things, I don't really see a problem with it. I mean, it fits WrestleMania. It fits the WrestleMania attraction, pretty much, of what people, you know, have come to get from WrestleMania.
A lot of it may depend on where they are going into WrestleMania. If they have something they would rather present than that, you know, maybe they go with that card. But if they're lacking a name, of course, they're trying to make WrestleMania bigger, four hours plus. Obviously, you think maybe you can attract some NBA fans. I don't know, Frank. What's Shaq been doing these days? I don't even know. I know he's retired.
Gold Bond.
Commercials.
Yeah, Gold Bond.
Commercials.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. Commercials.
Yeah, Gold Bond and feet and shit. That's what he's been doing.
Now, another big story during the week, it kind of took me by a little bit of a surprise, but maybe we know the backstory now, was that Joey Styles, who's been working as the Vice President of Digital Media Content, has been relieved of his duties.
Oh, my God!
So basically, he went quiet on Twitter. He always would plug the WWE website and YouTube, etc. Obviously, he was involved in that. But as of July 29th, he went silent on his Twitter, and then it was confirmed by ProWrestlingSheet.com that he's no longer with the company. He's been released. Teddy, does this surprise you at all?
Well, no. I mean, people are going to get released there, you know, on and on, you know, as time moves on, you know. So no big surprise to me. You know, Joey was a great guy. I enjoyed his commentary when he was doing that. And I think he had a pretty good position in the office there, you know, basically kind of overseeing the website. So, you know, in this business here, you can go to, you know, you can go home, go to bed at night and wake up in the morning and you don't have a job. So anytime somebody's released, it doesn't surprise me at all.
It surprised me, Frank, until you kind of gave me the backdrop of what happened here. Apparently he did, what, a chat on Facebook, and he was critical of the Universal Championship.
Well, he's critical of the Universal Championship, critical of the three-man announce booth on Raw and SmackDown. But it's kind of funny because as we're doing the podcast right now, I'm on Joey Styles' Twitter, and his Twitter says he's a WWE employee, Vice President of Digital Media Content. My views do not, and he's got that in capitals, do not represent those of WWE employees, fans, customers, suppliers, or people working on behalf of WWE. Well, WWE don't, they didn't see it that way. Because apparently, the reason why he was released, it all goes back to that Facebook Q&A he did. I guess, pretty much, Steve, they don't want you saying anything about the company in a negative light at all.
Not as an employee that you represent WWE. I don't know. It says on his Twitter that he's still an employee. As far as we know, WWE has not acknowledged his release. So I guess until they officially announce it, I guess it's still speculation.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't updated his Twitter since July 29th. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, he hasn't come out publicly and said anything about it. I mean, I think Tommy Dreamer might have said something about it, but that was it. I haven't seen anywhere where WWE confirms, hey, we released Joey Styles on this day. I haven't seen nothing.
It's too bad. I always liked Joey Styles. Good announcer. Earlier this year, he's been voted into the Gerwig.net Hall of Fame. It just seems like for years now, they've just kind of sit on him. I know he's working behind the scenes, but wouldn't you guys like to hear him as a commentator in 2016?
Yeah, I enjoyed his commentary at ECW. I really did. And his commentary when he came over to work for the WWE. Yeah, I'd like to see him out there.
It's kind of like what I said about Ryback earlier, you know, wasted opportunity, wasted potential. Yeah, they could have definitely utilized Joey Styles a lot more than what they did. And then he was doing the announcing gig for the ECW One Night Stand, the first thing they did. And then they brought back ECW, as we remember, as a third brand. It had him and Taz doing commentary. And then they pretty much had him on Raw before that. I guess, you know, he wasn't doing the job, you know, correctly or something like that. So they took him off and they put him on the website. And he was doing a lot of, you know, breaking ground stuff on WWE.com, you know, really tearing down the kayfabe deal and just putting up stuff about different promotions and all that stuff. That was all Joey Styles. So, I don't know. You know, I'd like to hear, you know, his side of the story, but I know that that Q&A video he did, WWE took it down. So, there you go.
That's too bad. Now, on the last podcast, we talked about Sean Puffy Combs. Actually, you guys did, and I kind of sat back, and I'll probably do it in the same segment here. But now, at least we found out what the reason was for bringing him back. It was announced that he's going to be the executive producer for the WWE 2K soundtrack and be the curator of the in-game music. Teddy, at least he has a role. That's why they brought him back. But are you excited about this?
No, I'm not excited about that either. Sean Puffy Combs, I mean, I just don't know. You know, I can't knock it because, you know, I saw they did the same thing with Timberland. He produced some music for him also. So, I mean, I just don't know. You know, like they say, this is the new era, so maybe this is part of the new era to put, you know, the different music to the video games. I have no idea, but that doesn't excite me either.
Well, at least you know, Frank, why they bring in Sean Puffy Combs back.
Well, you know, I was reading last night on Facebook, and a lot of people were kind of like, damn, you know, Anaheim had no respect for Diddy. They brought Diddy, and he had that segment. He got no reaction. They were booing him. Yeah, why the hell would you not? You know, here's the bottom line. People really today don't even know who Puff Daddy is or, you know, his role that he had in the music industry. You know, last week I was kind of critical about the guy, but I will say this, you know, and I said this last night, you know, in one of the Facebook groups that I'm a part of. It's like this. I respect the guy's accomplishments in the music business, everything he did. But the bottom line, in my opinion, Puff Daddy, he just rolled the coattails of Notorious B.I.G. until Biggie was murdered. That's pretty much what it was. And then Puffy had some hits with Mace and, you know, Lil' Kim and all them. He produced, you know, he had a hit with Faith Evans back in the day. He had 112. He had the Locks. He had a bunch of people on the roster. And then it all faded away. And then he had New Edition come on to the, you know, Bad Boy label. And then that floundered. You know, and Bad Boy pretty much now is irrelevant in the music industry. And that's, I mean, it's just, it is what it is. I mean, Puffy never had another Biggie Smalls. I mean, he had Shine and you know, Shine went to prison for a couple of years there. So, I mean, he had nothing, you know. I mean, you know, Puffy's claim to fame pretty much was he was with Jennifer Lopez at one point. And that was pretty much it. I mean, after Bad Boy, when it comes to the music industry over there, you know, you had Jay-Z, you had Rockefeller, you had, you know, Dipset, you had Rough Riders, all these different people out there. Nobody cares about Puffy now, you know, and he's a curator of the soundtrack. I think the soundtrack is garbage, pretty much.
Yeah, so, well, at least you know his role now. I mean, last week we speculated, well, why are they bringing this guy back, and now you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, still, I mean, it's like, damn, WWE pushing, you know, and this is a crazy shit, right? People last week were, you know, we were talking about Animal, and Animal was talking about Sasha Banks being pushed down people's throats. WWE is really pushing a full rider down my damn throat, man. It's like, you know, the guy's got a concert coming up for that charity that they're going to do. Once again, nothing wrong with them doing stuff for charity. That's great. I'm all for that. Should I do it myself in my community? But at the same time, it's flow rider. You know what I'm saying? That's not going to draw. You know, and I saw people saying, well, you know, WWE can afford to bring in Drake. They'll bring Drake in, yada, yada, yada. You know how much Drake charges per appearance? I don't really think they're going to want to spend that money for Drake. You know what I'm saying? That ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen for, you know, Lil Wayne or anybody else. There's a difference between, you know, how that works, all right? And there's a thing called show money and, you know, and appearances and all the different type of shit. Music industry is a different game. If that's the case, if they were going to spend money like that, then, you know, I would say about 60-70% of their content of a network would have the legitimate songs, and they would pay the royalties if it was just like, if they really want to pay money like that for an artist. So it ain't going to happen.
You know what? It's hard to believe. We've done a lot of these podcasts here, Frank, and we rarely talk about TNA, but I got some TNA news.
Oh, shit.
Go figure here.
Oh, shit. Well, you know what? Where's the crickets?
TNA has confirmed that their big pay-per-view of the year, Bound for Glory, will take place on Sunday, October the 2nd. And, you know, I got this press release yesterday, and I'm looking for, okay, where's it at? Which arena? And it's not in the press release. So, you know, I do a little digging, go online, and, of course, it's at the Impact Zone in Orlando. So their big pay-per-view of the year, I guess that went in Slammiversary, Bound for Glory on October the 2nd will be from the Impact Zone in Orlando. So what is that, 900 fans, Frank, to see the big show of the year?
Man, they can draw 900 fans in the Impact Zone. I don't know what they're drawing nowadays. I really don't know. And I'm not going to come out here and shit on it because there's no point. Everybody knows TNA and everybody knows TNA's situation. You know, that's, I don't know, maybe at, you know, Bound for Glory it will be the final deletion.
Well, I'll tell you what they're drawing. 317,000 viewers last week. They got a little bit of a spike with the final deletion going over 400,000. But just like the WWE numbers, they're going the other way again.
Well, they have a buzz. They had a buzz there, just like the WWE had a buzz with the draft. Everybody was intrigued. Let's see how this is going to go. And now it's going back down again because they see where it's going to go. And, you know, I was saying this. It was a fresh show with Raw. Fresh show. It had a, you know, they changed the set somewhat, modified it. It was, you know, SummerSlam 2013 set, but nonetheless, they modified the set. But it's back to the same show. Same thing. Only difference is, hey, we got red ropes now. That's it. Same thing with TNA. TNA, you know, I don't know what the hell is going on over there right now with their storylines. Only thing I know was I watched the match with Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy. I was entertained by that, and that was it, man. So They're the company that has nine lives. I said it before, and I'll say it again. I really honestly can't believe they're even still around. And that's a hell of an accomplishment. So I'll say this. Congratulations, TNA, for, you know, coming up. You know, you got Bound for Glory 2016. Congratulations on that. Because I really thought you guys would have been dead a long time ago.
Poll results, Gerwick.net. Would you like to see Melina return to WWE? I know Frank got some flack for this one. 60% said yes, they would like to see Melina return. Teddy, what do you think about Melina returning to WWE?
Well, I like Melina. She was all right. She was a nice girl, you know. I think anything, you know, right now would help them. You know, she's been gone for a while, so people probably missed her, so she would be kind of fresh. So, you know, who knows? You know, give her a try.
Yeah, Frank's not a big fan of Melina.
I'm not a fan of Melina at all, but hey, here, check this out, Steve. So it's saying here that former ROH star Roderick Strong, he cleared all his medical testing for WWE, and he's expected to show up at NXT in September.
Congratulations to Roderick Strong. Great talent, great signing.
Yeah, you see how I got that away from Melina and went on to something actually relevant?
You know, what's funny, too, there, Frank, you just talking about he cleared his medicals. Again, didn't Shelton clear his medicals?
I never heard that Shelton cleared his medicals. I just heard they were bringing him back.
Yeah.
Never heard he cleared his medicals. So there you go right there. Never heard it. I should say never heard it. I ain't going to say heard it. Never heard him say that he cleared his medical. But like I said before, you see how I got the rip from Melina and went on actually something that, you know, we could talk about here? Because here's the bottom line. Melina was only good at one thing, and that's when she would drop her ass on that apron. That was it.
Yeah,
so, they're not going to be doing that entrance in the PG. Trust me, that's not going to happen. Not when you got little Jimmy sitting in the front row there. So that ain't going to happen.
And you know that split that she does. You know, I was the one suggested that she did it one time in rehearsal, and I saw that, and she'll tell you this. And I told her, I said, "That's it. I said, continue to do that. That's it right there."
Last episode of the GRP, we had a question from Mamba Kitchen, and Frank basically paused it to think about it for the week. He suggested Undertaker versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania. Frank, what do you think of that match?
I don't like it. I just don't think it'll work at all. It'll just be, it's one of those matches I don't really think it'll live up to the hype, honestly. So I would rather just pass on that one.
Okay. Julian via Twitter, and you can always email us, GerwickReport@gmail.com with your questions, or just tweet us at GerwickReport on Twitter. He wants to know, do we feel Luke Harper will have a big role when he comes back?
I think he should have a big role. I mean, Luke Harper is a very agile guy for his size, so why not push him? But they probably won't. They'll probably put him to the side or put him back with the Wyatt family or something like that. They won't utilize him correctly at all. I mean, here's a guy right there, in my opinion, with unlimited potential, and they'll do nothing with him.
Yeah, I kind of worried about the Wyatt family once they split him up, because obviously Bray is the star of the group there, Teddy. But do you think maybe they'll give Luke a push when he returns?
Well, I kind of have to agree with Frank. You know, I think they should. You know what I mean? But, you know, sometimes when you go like that and they write you out, you know, unless they really want to use you, or they really focus on you, they'll write you right back in. But I don't know whether that, if they really focus on him. So it's like Frank says, you know, they probably won't. But, you know, there's something that they should do.
And you know something funny? Because, you know, you just mentioned the Wyatt family there, Steve. You know, last Tuesday on SmackDown Live, the Wyatt family kind of got back together a little bit with Bray Wyatt and Eric Rowan out there. And it was kind of funny, too, because, you know, he had that match last week, Bray Wyatt versus Dolph Ziggler was the main event of SmackDown last week. And it was, you know, one of those stupid things. It's like, oh, Dolph Ziggler's going to put his number one contendership up against Bray Wyatt. And during that match there, Bray Wyatt kind of rolled his ankle a little bit. It looked bad, but he continued the match. He continued the match like a G.
Right. Frank, did you have a question from the email bag there?
Yeah, we actually do have a question here from Al in Atlanta. This question is for Teddy Long. He wants to know, Teddy Long, do you know of Wahoo McDaniel, and do you know why he is not in the WWE Hall of Fame with all his accomplishments in the wrestling business?
Well, I do. Well, I did know Wahoo McDaniel. God rest his soul. I worked with him back in the day in NWA and WCW, and he was a great guy, nice guy. But I can't answer why he's not in the WWE Hall of Fame. I mean, you know, he never worked for the WWF, so that still may not have nothing to do with it. There are a lot of guys that are in the Hall of Fame that never worked there. So I don't know. Maybe Wahoo McDaniels, you know, maybe his day will come. Who knows?
Do you think he deserves it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Wahoo McDaniels was great in the NWA back in the day days. Yes, exactly. He deserves it.
I agree. I think he definitely should be in, and it is a shame that he's not at this point. He definitely deserves to be in. Go back and watch some of those strap matches he used to do. He was a character. I have no idea why he's not. Maybe one of these years when they decide, you know, they always put in a deceased wrestler, maybe he'll finally get his due. But there's really no reason he should not be in the Hall of Fame, quite frankly.
Man, we can talk about people that should be in the Hall of Fame all damn day long. As a matter of fact, it's kind of funny because last night during Raw, during the commentary, they were talking about the tag teams. And Demolition actually got a mention last night on Raw. So I don't know if they know that Demolition's part of that lawsuit or not, but they actually got a mention.
They missed that memo.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not sure that helped their chances, but it is what it is. All right, real quickly, you can follow us, as I said before, at Gerwick and at Gerwick Report on Twitter. Like us on Facebook as well. My Instagram is out there. Teddy is at TeddyPlayAlong for Twitter, TeddyLong.com. And what do you have coming up there, Playa?
Well, this weekend, Saturday, I'm going to be in Dudley, Georgia for a big deal there. It's called Legends Fest. I'll be there with Hall of Famer Ron Simmons, man. There's just a whole slew of guys that are going to be on that card. I'd be sitting here all day trying to call all of them names. But Big Legends Fest, Dudley, Georgia, this coming Saturday, which is the 13th. And on the 19th, I'm going to be in Crestview, Florida at the John Boy Auditorium. I'll be there with Fighting Evolution Wrestling. Also going to be a lot of the TNA stars are going to be there, so I'll be working with them. And also, we will crown a new Fighting Evolution Wrestling champion on August the 19th there at the John Ball Auditorium. And on September 10th, I will start at Wildcat Sports. They're starting their new TV on Channel 50, WUPL in New Orleans, and I am the new general manager for Wildcat Sports.
You know, Frank, I think we forgot to mention in our Raw recap or our thoughts on Raw, there were two scenes on Raw. Each time there was some kind of meme or a poster of one Teddy Long. I know it was part of the Enzo Cass opening dialogue that you can see a poster flash up in the left-hand corner. And then later in the show, when Daniel Bryan came out to the ring and cut his promo, that poster resurfaced. So go figure, Teddy Long over on WWE television.
Yeah, go figure, right?
You know, that dinosaur.
Yeah, the dinosaur, the old man, go figure. Yeah, you know what? California obviously respects Teddy Long and Teddy Long's achievements and accomplishments in the wrestling business, so that's what's up.
And let me say this. I don't know who those people had those signs, but thank you very much. I really appreciate you thinking about me. But, hey, man, hey, thank you guys again. Thank you.
You feel me? Believe that, player.